I often hear statistics, stories, examples about how bad the church is today. I'm sure you've heard much the same thing. Such things as 60% of Catholics do not believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Or you may hear things like 10% of the United States is Catholic right now. It's kind of a low number in some ways. You may also see figures like the charts from the October counts the diocese does, that almost every church in this diocese has had a dwindling number of Catholics for the last 10 years. Only two churches have actually grown in the last 2 years, 10 years. Some of them have declined as much as 75%. These things can be sobering and sad as we look across what seems to be a darkening world. We get caught up in the difficulties and challenges. And yet this is where I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you because so often we see the world only in a very small slice of history, as though these last 50 years are telling of what the future might hold. And yet, in that, I want to challenge you again to look around a little bit more fully. For example, in the last 100 years, we've had the vast majority of all the popes in the last 100 years canonized as saints. Only two are an exception. Almost every pope since the Second Vatican Council has been canonized a saint, with the exception of Pope Benedict, who just died, so it takes some time. The only other time in church history where this has ever happened is the first century. Only in the first century have we seen so many popes canonized saints. We may think of the dwindling number of Catholics and the number of 10% as daunting or challenging to us. And yet, the only other time in church history where the number of Catholics was so low was the first century. We also look at the 20th century as the bloodiest century in church history, with two-thirds of all martyrs happening in the 20th century alone, which means all the 19 centuries combined do not equal the number of martyrs of the 20th century. We estimate around 20 to 50 million martyrs. That's just what we know of. Someone like Mao, who killed 30 million. And yet those are just the numbers we know. Basically, in the 20th century, every country in the world, with a very few exceptions, has had a martyr, even the United States. This shows the upswing in faith, not the other way around. The only time in church history where we had that many martyrs was the first century. I bring this up to inspire you. The first century was the age of the apostles, the flowering of the church, the inspiration of the Spirit. This was a time of renewal, strengthening, where the church went out, knew its mission, and was able to evangelize in a way it's never had before. I argue, and so do the popes of the last 20 years, that we are now entering that age again. This is now the age of the Spirit, the age of renewal, the age of recognizing again who we are, as the world has turned away from faith, has no longer understood who Jesus is or even heard his name. Yet where does that leave us? Where are your sights? Where are you looking? I think for a vast majority of us, we can answer that question very simply. We're looking outward. We're looking across the world. We're looking for information. We're looking at stories. We're looking at examples and all these things that lead us to various different directions. We can see conspiracy theories and think about the end coming and all the horrible things. We may hear of prophets speaking about how Jesus is coming back very soon, even though he didn't say that himself. We can look across the world and see it becoming dark and predict that things are going to only get worse. And yet, where are Jesus' words in the midst of this? Did he ever tell us to predict the future? Did he ever tell us when he was coming back? Did he ever tell us that we're supposed to go fight against sin and win that battle? Did he ever tell us that our goal is to change the world, transform it into what it needs to be? No. His only command was the one given today. Go and make disciples. By looking across the world and trying to predict, try to understand, try to fight against the things of the world, we miss the point. We get distracted. We don't see what we're supposed to do. We ignore Jesus' words. And the ascension has no power. There's no sense that by Jesus ascending to the Father, the graces have come down upon us, and now we can live anew. Instead, we get caught up in our own ideas and miss the point. Our goal is to evangelize. That is our call. So I ask you again, where are your sights set? Where are your eyes focused? Are you like the disciples who are found staring up at the sky? One of my favorite lines from today's reading. Men of Galilee, what are you doing? Stop staring at the sky. He's gone. Get to work. You got stuff to do. We can easily become like the disciples. where our attention is focused on what we want God to be, or thinking, he's got this, I don't have anything to do in this, and we just wait, a passive wait, wondering when God will come back. No, that's why the angels challenge the disciples. Where is your attention? You got work to do, get to work. And Jesus said the same thing. He said again, go make disciples, go spread my message, go make this stuff happen. Now here's the challenge for us. The Mass is our standard, inspiration. It's the place where we get the support, encouragement to go out with the message we've received. So often we dismiss the very end. We always say, go. Go in peace. Go and announce the gospel of the Lord. Go and proclaim God's name. Go. The message of the Mass is to go. So we take what we experienced here and bring it to the world, where the world can experience Jesus through us. The challenge is, we often think of the Mass as for ourselves, and it becomes selfish. Look at what I gained, the graces I get. I did what I was supposed to. Yay, me. No, we need to go. This is where we get all the inspiration we need to be able to persevere in the world out there. So, my brothers and sisters, I challenge you. I challenge you to take up this call anew. I do realize how scary it may be to think of evangelization, to spread our faith, to speak about it. So let me give you a few helpful hints. First of all, let hope grow. We don't really have hope as much as we used to, but hope is what we need. We need to hope that God's grace will persevere and help us. We need to hope that we have the gifts we need. We need to hope in God and believe that He will give us the words we need to speak. We need to believe again that there is something worth fighting for. There is value in our faith, and to give it to people around us. The second thing we need is faith. How often do we really believe our faith is valuable? Think about it for a moment. If I were to find a cool video on YouTube, I'd want to share it. Think of how often people find life hacks, these little things that they can do to make life easier, and how few of them actually work. But regardless, they think that they found this special secret that'll change everyone's lives. We have a secret that'll change everyone's lives, but do we believe it? Have we lived it enough that we believe it's valuable to other people, that it's worth sharing? That is our starting point. We have to believe that again. Lastly, we need courage, and to pray for that courage. Evangelization takes time. It's hard. To really grasp where a person's at, to guide them into the depths of the faith, is not easy. That's why we pray, and we continually pray, and we ask God for His inspiration. We ask Him for courage. We ask for a growing of our faith, that we may faithfully succeed in this mission. This is our challenge. Our goal is to evangelize. That is the command that God gave us. He knew that our faith would flower when we had the freedom to go and express it. He knew that we would see the great miracles and the examples we needed to persevere when we were willing to spread it. He knew that the only way for our faith to grow stronger is by making it important enough that we want to share it. And so I ask you, how valuable is your faith? How willing are you to spread it? What does it mean to you? Do you believe enough in God's grace and who He is and what He has done that it's valuable for you to give this to someone else? How you answer those questions will be how faithfully you follow God's command and how much you experience the joy of our faith.